Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Howard Bender at RotoBuzz Guy on Twitter, and you're listening to Quick Hits on the Fantasy Alarm Podcast. Well, we've been doling out the fantasy advice over the last couple of episodes here, and you know, I think you guys have been getting your fill. You've had some sleepers. We've talked about the Sam Bradford trade and a couple of mistakes that often people make, but now it's time to have a little bit of fun with this show, and there's nothing more fun for me, actually, during the fantasy football season. As many of you know, I began the Jam On Fantasy Football League in conjunction with the guys from SiriusXM Jam On, Ari Fink, Jonathan Schwartz. We put together a pretty tasty league, actually, and if you're a fan of the jam bands and you know SiriusXM Jam On, well, then I got to tell you, man, you're going to be pretty psyched about what we got coming up here, because in this league right now, not only is it myself and Ari Fink and Jonathan Schwartz, but from the jam band world, we've also got Humphreys McGee bassist Ryan Stasek, Mark Brownstein from the Disco Biscuits, Chris Carota, Fish's lighting designer, and Brad Sands, Ween's tour manager. They're also in the league, but in addition to that, right now, we also have a number of sports guys that I think would definitely interest you. Chris Weaver from NFL Films, Steve Gardner, USA Today, Adam Zucker, CBS Sports, and a favorite of mine and a guest actually here to share a morning cup of coffee with is none other than ESPN's Bob Wischusen, who is also the play-by-play guy for my New York Jets. Bob, how are you this morning, man? Welcome to Quick Hits.
I'm dominating this league this year, by the way. That is my
dominating
prediction.
This
no
league?
No more, yeah, like no more of this, you know, like, you know, getting snookered every week by whoever has the second highest score. This year, my team, I predict a runaway. I'm running away with this thing, and nothing will make me happier. I haven't even looked at the divisions yet, so I don't even know, like, who's in my immediate division. But if you can make sure that Chris Carota and Ryan Stasek are in my immediate division so that hopefully each week I can mock their loss and celebrate my win, that would make me very happy.
Wow, look at that. Coming out swinging right out of the gate. A prediction so bold, I want to base ribs in it right now. Unbelievable. Bob, big thanks to you for joining me here this morning. Really appreciate it. You know, I don't know if you followed along. Quick Hits here. This is my world of fantasy football podcasting in 15 minutes or less. So nobody's got time for the big long show anymore. Nobody's got time to read that big long article. So we're chopping it down. So you know what? I'm just going to get right to it, and I'm going to hit you with a number of questions here because we have a lot to cover here, Bob, in a very, very short time. All right?
Fire away.
All right. Well, first of all, let's just do like a little get to know you here. For those of you out there who might not be following the New York Jets, who might be a stranger to ESPN, I can't imagine why, but, you know, whatever. Bob, let's talk about the career here so far. So how long have you been a TV sports broadcaster?
Let's see. This is, at least for the Jets on radio, this is year 15. For Marty Lyons and myself, and first year at ESPN, I think was 05. So what is that add up to? 12 years. This is the 12th year I'll be doing college football, college basketball for ESPN. So yeah, it's fun. I mean, I get to go to games for a living. How's that?
Right. Who doesn't love watching games and talking about sports for a living? I know that this has been a dream of mine. Pinch me here. Pinch me. What was the first? I'm sorry.
No, exactly. I was agreeing.
So what was the first game you ever called?
Man, I filled in for the Jets. This is going way back. Jeez, this has got to be like 97 or so. I was a fill-in guy before I got the full-time job. And I remember Omar Stoutmeyer was a Jets safety, and he had a pick six on a Monday night game of Dan Marino, and the Jets beat the Dolphins, and that was kind of like the first – opportunity I got to call one of their games, and then went to MSG TV in New York and was doing Knicks and Rangers on a, you know, kind of a fill-in basis there as well, so the 25-30 Knicks and Rangers games along with the Jets, and then the ESPN opportunity came along about 5 years later. So it's currently now been 20 years I've been doing play-by-play.
Now, you're also a Jets fan, right? You not only call the games, but you're a fan?
Well, I mean, I grew up as a Jets fan, but now from a selfish standpoint, like when the Jets make the playoffs, you know, my salary is based on the 20 games you know they're going to play with the 16 regular season games and the preseason games. 21st game is a cha-ching if they make the playoffs. So, yeah, I'm a Jets fan. Let's go. Make the playoffs.
Oh, man. Well, you know, I mean, I got to tell you, man, if I'm at ESPN and I'm drawing up your contract based on the number of games, yeah, I'm hoping that, you know, I'm like, oh, the Jets, all right, they're never making the playoffs. What a nightmare
yeah,
sometimes.
For the last several years, my availability in January has definitely been a little too wide open from a Jets perspective. So, yeah, they want to, and they have a brutal early schedule. It starts with Cincinnati on Sunday. But if they can get off to a good start, and a good start for them might be 3-3, but if they get off to a good start, they may actually end the year playoff drought, because the last 4 years with Rex, they didn't make the playoffs, and last year with Todd Bowles, there were 13 teams in the NFL that were above 500 last year, 12 in playoffs. And the Jets. They were the only above 500 team last year that was left out. So, yeah, they're bitter. I mean, it's a pretty motivated group.
Well, so give me your outlook here for the team. I mean, because let's face it, we've got Fitzpatrick back under center. He's got Decker and Marshall. We've swapped out Ivory for Forte. Bilal Powell is still there. The defense is the pass defense has still been solid. There's been little issues with the defensive line, I think. But overall, I mean, in comparison to last season, another year under Todd Bowles, do you see improvement on the horizon here?
Well, the scary part, and again, schedule never seems to work out the way we think they're going to work out. When you look at it on paper, schedule ends up being what on paper it looks like it could be. They could play as well or better than they played last season and finish with a worse record. You know, and that's the tough part, because their first six games, and this is what everybody points at, but their first six games, they play five playoff teams and the Bills on the road. And they haven't beaten the Bills in like 3 years. So, you know, you start off with Cincinnati at home, then a short week Buffalo on the road on a Thursday, at Kansas City, home Seattle, at Pittsburgh, at Arizona on a Monday night. I mean, I can't imagine there's a team in the NFL that's got a harder first six games than that. The Dolphins, I think, are similar. Like they're, and obviously the Jets and Dolphins, Patriots and Bills, 14 of their 16 games are the same opponents. So, you know, somebody in the division is going to have a similar look because they play the same teams. But I think the Dolphins' schedule, if I'm not mistaken, is front-loaded as well. And even after they get through with those six games, they've got Baltimore at home, and then they've got Cleveland and Miami, two games they have a very good chance to win, but also both on the road. So three of their first nine games are at home, and five of their first six games are against teams that went to the playoffs last year. So that's the tough part, that a Jet fan would like to think that they could improve, and I think they can improve, and I think they can be better than they were last year, and they won 10 games last season. But they could play better and end up 9-7 or 8-8 just because the level of competition on their schedule this year looks drastically different than the level of competition on their schedule last year. Now, if they go 3-3 through those first six games, that's really what I've been saying all along, somehow find a way to win three of those first six, then you could look at the second half of their schedule where, you know, five of their last seven games are at home, and they've got a bye week in there to get a rest. So, you know, I mean, they definitely have a chance back half of their schedule to make a lot of noise if they can just survive the first half of their schedule, but easier said than done.
Always easier said than done, no question. So let me ask you, I introduced at the top of the show, I talked about the Jam On Fantasy Football League. And in typical fashion here, you built your team pretty similarly to what I usually do, and that is I avoid all Jets except for the defense. And you did the exact same. So did all of this this early season schedule, did that factor in, or is it because we're actually stuck with a bunch of ridiculous Jet fans in this league that we got to fight for guys like Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker?
Yeah, there was definitely a time like 4 or 5 years ago when Mark Sanchez was throwing the Plaxico Burress, and that was about as good as it got for the Jets, that you wouldn't want any Jet offensive players on your team. But, you know, now they've got desirable offensive players. I mean, they have no tight ends, but Matt Forte, obviously, you know, especially if you're in a PPR league, and Bilal Powell, they both catch the ball. And Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker were, I mean, they might not have been the most productive wide receiver tandem in the NFL, but they were certainly in the top five. And Ryan Fitzpatrick last year threw 31 touchdown passes. Now, in this day and age, that's, you know, probably slightly above average, but that, for Jets fans, that was a Jets record. Joe Namath had never thrown 30 touchdown passes in a season. And last year, Ryan Fitzpatrick kind of parachutes in and throws 31. So their offense last year was far more productive, far more exciting, far more entertaining to watch than I ever expected that it would be. And that was with Chris Ivory on the team, who was constantly on and off the injury report and was kind of that hammer looking for a nail running back. Well, now they've got Matt Forte, who's a totally different type of a weapon. I would expect that their offense would be pretty fun to watch again this year. Now, those first six games, I don't know how fun it'll be to watch. We'll see. But, yeah, I mean, if you're in a fantasy draft and you're, you know, last-minute draft tonight before the season starts, you want Eric Decker, you want Brandon Marshall, you want Matt Forte. I mean, you, even in the back end of your draft, if you're looking for a quarterback in the 8th, 9th, 10th round, Ryan Fitzpatrick, you could do a lot worse.
Oh, no. Listen, I've been touting Fitzpatrick as a fantasy QB option only because, you know, when you look at some of the sites and you look at ESPN, you look at Yahoo, you look at Fantrax, all of these different places, because Fitzpatrick signed so late in the offseason, he wasn't a part of a lot of these websites' initial projections. So all of a sudden now you look further down the list and there he was eventually. And I've been sneaking him in the 13th and the 14th round of some 12-team leagues. So, you know, of course, he'll sit on my bench because I do think that highly of myself, that I am all-powerful and I will jinx him. But for the same token, I mean, he's a fantastic bargain. I mean, you're right. You're 1,000% right. It's actually an exciting offense right now. I can't remember the last time that I even thought about Jets on my fantasy team. I mean, you probably have to go back to when your broadcast partner was a member of the Sack Exchange.
Yeah, well, Brandon Marshall is arguably the best wide receiver that they've had since Don Maynard, who went to the Hall of Fame. I mean, look all the way through Jet history, you know, and they've had some pretty good receivers, Wesley Walker and Altoon, Keyshawn, Krabet. I mean, they've had some productive wide receivers. But Brandon Marshall has put up, and last year put up, better numbers than any wide receiver going back to when football was just a totally different era, and an 1,100-yard season would put you in the Hall of Fame. So, and, you know, obviously the Jets do have a Hall of Fame wide receiver in Maynard. So, I mean, would you be surprised with the numbers that Brandon Marshall's putting up right now? Like, if he has 2 or 3 more years, and I think that's really all it would take, of the years he's already put up, he's a Hall of Fame wide receiver. That's how good he is. And Eric Decker last year, I think, had 12 touchdowns. At least 10, if not 11 of his touchdowns, were in the red zone. He was, like, right at the top of the league, you know, top couple of receivers in the league for red zone touchdowns for wide receivers. And they were productive. You're right. It's been a long time since I would probably go back to last year was the best offensive year I think they've had since in 2002. They came out of nowhere and won the division, and it was the first time Chad Pennington got a chance to play. And Curtis Martin was on the team, and Keyshawn was on the team, Wayne Krabet was on the team. You know, they had some really good offensive players, and their offense was rolling. And it was almost like name your number. I mean, they were scoring 28, you know, 30, 32, 34 points in many, many games. And last year, I think, really was the first time since then. I mean, it was 13 or 14 years, I think you'd have to go back, the last time they had an offense that you really felt going into some of these games, well, you know, they're going to score 27 points today because that's what they've been doing. 27 points for them for the past 5 or 6 years was like a season high.
Huge. Huge. Absolutely. No question about it. I mean, listen, I'm very excited about the prospects. You know, there's that obvious trepidation of being a Jets fan and forever being disappointed and, you know, standing there watching Vinny Testaverde's Achilles rupture, watching A.J. Dewey intercept, was that Ken O'Brien in 85?
That was Richard Todd, if I remember right.
Oh, was that Richard? Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah.
What are you going to do? Bring back Pat Ryan, everybody. Bring back Pat Ryan.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, well, so my confidence in the Jets is always with a little bit of, just a little bit of, yeah, to it. But fantasy football, on the other hand here, Bob, totally different story. I got to tell you, I love your confidence level, nice and high here coming in. I, too, have a very, very high confidence level in my team right now. But before we get to some of those specifics on our team here, let me just ask you a couple questions. So how long have you played fantasy football? Has it always been something that you've done?
Yeah, I mean, I first started, as most people did, fantasy baseball, obviously for 99% of us, was how you got into it. And I was doing fantasy baseball in the mid-90s when it was, you know, keep your own statistics. And it was
right.
Like, you know, I mean, USA Today was like a must purchase every day because they had the box scores pretty much updated all the way through the West Coast games, you know. So if you've done fantasy going back prior to the internet, then literally you could do fantasy for 2 years that way and for 50 years with your computer. And every time you're on the website, you're like, this is awesome. I can't believe there's a website that actually keeps track of all of this for us. Remember the days where you were like entering every number into a little box and doing the math? But yeah, I mean, fantasy football, it's got to be at least 20, 25 years.
All right. Well, so the Jam on Fantasy Football League, we had two major areas of criteria to be in there. Number one, you had to be a good fantasy football player. Well, you know, just you had to be an experienced fantasy footballer. How about that? Number two,
you were a good fantasy football player. Seems to be the criteria.
Is that a dig at who? Jonathan Schwartz or Ryan Stasek? Which one?
They would say it's a dig at me.
Well, what do they know, man? They're in the music world. We're in the sports world. We know what's going on. In any event, so the other criteria, obviously, you had to be into jam bands. Now, you know, listen, Bill Walton, most famous jam band fan of all time here. Have you been a well-known jam band fan? How did Ari Finck and Jonathan Schwartz know to get in touch with you for the league?
That's a very good question. I think I must have tweeted them at some point without even knowing Schwartz was a Jets fan. Like, I didn't even realize that. But I remember my first job out of college, right after I graduated in 1993, was down in Miami. And I had a bunch of friends that were up here. And I would come back, like, every, you know, 6 months or so to, like, visit home. And sometime in, like, 94, we were all sitting around. And someone had, like, a cassette tape, like, literally from the taper section. And they were like, you got to hear this band. They're awesome. And I had never heard of Phish before. And I had no idea who they were. And obviously, they were probably a college band 5 years before that, playing at bars. And listened to it, and I was like, oh, this is great. And 3 years later, we were at Madison Square Garden on New Year's Eve. And they sold the place out for, like, 3 nights. I mean, literally, like, where did these guys come from? So I'm sitting in my friend's living room, and they've got a cassette tape of, what you thought at the time was a bootleg show. I had no idea that Phish told anybody with a recorder and a shotgun microphone to buy a tapers ticket and come and, yeah, feel free, record our music and pass it around, you know, and not want anything for it. They encouraged it. Most other bands you know, would kick you out of the building if they found you with taping equipment. So that was my introduction to them, and you know, I've been a big fan ever since, and my wife's a huge fan, and, you know, we've got friends that once in a while, we're not, you know, packing up an RV and going out on tour. I mean, we've got kids. We have actual jobs and responsibilities. I don't know how some of these people pull it off, but we always try to pick a destination each summer if it works for our schedule. We saw them in Lake Tahoe and, you know, go down to – we've been up to Worcester and out to Reading, Pennsylvania, and down to Maryland and stuff to see them. And so, you know, when we can, we kind of build our summer around at least finding – it's like our weekend away, you know, our escape from the kids for a few days. If we can line the babysitters up, to go follow fish somewhere.
No question. My wife and I do the exact same thing. We got to find somebody to stay with the dogs at home, but that's about it. There's nothing better than just being able to kind of zip up to the gorge or head over to Tahoe and catch a show. So when was your first show?
New Year's Eve. That, when I came back, well, I guess that was 97 into 98,
uh-huh.
I want to say. We went, and it was great. You know, that was my first, you know, chance experience. And I've always told people that fish is ice hockey. You know what I mean? Like, fish, you have to go see it live. You can't,
yeah.
You're not going to get it if you think you're going to, you know, listen to it on the radio or listen to one of their studio albums. You know, it's just not happening. Like, I always tell people that, watch hockey on TV, and they're like, why do you like hockey so much? Because I've been to it 1,000 times in person, and if you ever go in person, then you'll get it. And I say the same thing about fish. They're like the musical version of ice hockey. Like, you have to go, you have to see it, you got to be in the crowd, you got to be there in person, and then when you're there in person, especially if you're there with a bunch of your friends, then it's just, you know, it's something you really want to do over and over and over again. And, you know, for us, we've had too many kids to do it as often as we'd like, but hopefully, I keep thinking that these guys are just going to decide that they don't really have anything better to do, so all four of them are just going to play live together until they're like 83 years old, and there will be a time down the road where we'll be able to go to, like, you know, 8 shows in a summer instead of one.
Well, you'll be able to come hang out in my RV, because I'll already be on tour at that point as well. No question.
It's always nice to know that there's there are facilities somewhere nearby, because that's one thing at a fish show that sometimes is lacking.
No doubt. All right, so your team name, Touchdown with Disease. Safe to assume Down with Disease is the favorite song. What's the favorite song?
My wife's favorite song. That's why I went with it.
Okay, how about you?
Oh, I've got so many. I'm like an anthem guy. You know,
yep.
Like, I like Fluffhead. I like Tweezer, I like Carini, like, I like stuff where the minute they start to play it, the whole crowd, like, explodes, you know, Golgi Apparatus, like, the stuff where you feel like you're at a rock show when they're playing those songs. And, I mean, I like the slow stuff, too. A lot of the songs that people make fun of, you know, Army of One or Bug or something that's like a bathroom break song, I like those songs. I think those songs are great. So there's not too much that they play that I don't like, but the stuff that I'm always hoping that they'll play, you know, Harry Hood or like the ones that, you know, the whole crowd knows,
mm-hmm.
and you know you're only going to get once every, you know, however many shows that are like their big anthems, you know, those are the ones when I'm listening back, you know, or going back and looking at, you know, what we heard that night, I'm always hoping that there are going to be a few of those in there.
Yep, Slave to the Traffic Light is the one that I always covet the most. That's, you know, you hit me with
that's
that, and I am a happy, happy camper. All right, so back to the league here. So I got to ask you here, besides who the hell is Howard Bender, what was your first thought when you saw the lineup for Jam on Fantasy Football?
You know, I was actually surprised how many guys I recognized. You know, like, I'm the same. I'm thinking, nobody can know who I am. You know, why do they even want me to do this? But then you realize the Jet fans that are in it. So, you know, I'm glad that in spite of the fact that there have been many a season where the Jets have caused the people in this league angst, at least Jam fans have brought them some happiness in those same years. But, yeah, I mean, it was a no-brainer. Like, I know Humphreys McGee. I know the Disco Biscuits. I know, and obviously I know Chris Carota. I mean, I've been going to fish shows for, you know, going on 20 years now. So I was actually like pleasantly surprised, even the, like a bunch of the people on the music side that I knew as well as I did.
And now that you've gone through a full year, now that we've coined the phrase to be Wishusened, which is exactly as you said earlier, that is to score the second most points during a week and end up with more losses than you do wins because you always play that guy.
Correct.
Between all of that and now the season that you had last year and now coming into this year's draft, is there a rival in the league? Is there somebody that you're like, ah? Well, I guess Stasik and Kuroda are your two main targets here if you want to jump into their division, huh?
Well, Kuroda, because he's a Giant fan, and he throws that out there, you know, just with like, that real, like, you know, I want a lot more than your team arrogance. You know, you get that with him. I mean, he has an email office, but when he does email, there's always that undercurrent of, your team stinks. My team's awesome. What do you think? My team's awesome. What do you think of that? So to take him down would be fun. And Stasik, because I don't know how many folks that are listening know, but last year, you know, Libby Ballingy, was it Ballingy or Ballingy? I'm not 100% sure how to pronounce her last name, but she was a listener who won the league. And we somehow decided with like a month and a half to go, that an appropriate ending would be, whoever won the league would go on stage to a Disco Biscuit show or an Umphrey show or someplace and have the trophy presented to them. And that, how great was that? I mean, that was, you know, she got a chance to go on stage and get the hardware. And so to beat Stasik and then go to an Umphrey show and know that he was then the person that would have to present me with my trophy, I mean, how, like, what better scenario could that be?
Well, I'll tell you a better scenario, and that's me walking out on stage during a Madison Square Garden New Year's run with Chris Kuroda running a follow spot my way and accepting my trophy this December.
I would take that one, too. That's not a bad idea. That, if you can hook that up for the winner, I think anybody in our league would sign up for that.
Oh, no question about it. All right, so confidence is high for you. You're ready to throw the smackdown on all of these guys. Give it to me out of your team right now. And I can, you know, I'm looking at it right now. Rivers, Gurley, Rawls, Jeffrey Watkins, Jones, Marvin Jones, Jordan Reed. Who's going to be the unsung hero of Touchdown with Disease this year?
Well, Marvin, I thought I got Marvin Jones at a good time. I mean, without Calvin Johnson there, and when he was with the Bengals, he kind of played second fiddle to A.J. Green and was a really productive player. So I feel like he could be a dark horse to have a big year. And they gave me Gurley with the sixth pick, which I thought was a no-brainer. I mean, I don't know how many leagues are going to let Gurley last until six, but the knuckleheads in this league did, so I was happy to jump on that. And, yeah, if Alshon Jeffrey can stay healthy and Sammy Watkins can stay, that's the problem. I took a couple of guys that are fragile. Like Rawls gets hurt. Alshon Jeffrey gets hurt. You know, Sammy Watkins gets dinged. So, like, there are guys that I probably am banking on a little bit too heavy. Might spend some time on the DL. But if those are guys that, you know, play 13 out of the first 14 weeks, and I definitely like my chances.
Fantastic. Well, all right. Bob, I'm going to rapid fire my five easy questions your way here because we're running short on time, and I got to get this in under my time frame. You ready for this one? Five easy questions, Bob. You ready?
Let's go.
Breakfast only in the a.m. or breakfast anytime?
Oh, what's better than Brenner?
Pokemon
breakfast
Go
for dinner.
Or Pokemon Go or Pokemon No?
I have children that are like full on addicted to Pokemon Go. So in my world, I would like to say Pokemon No a lot more often than I do.
Favorite Halloween costume you've ever worn?
When I was a monk in high school or a few years ago when I was a Miller Lite beer can?
right. Just out of a show, street meat or a shakedown grilled cheese?
Shakedown grilled cheese.
And the last question here, Bob, worst butchering of Wisconsin?
I was in eighth grade football, made a tackle on Thanksgiving, probably 10 times the number of people that have ever been at a game combined that I was playing in that were there that day, and the PA announcer said, "Wonderful tackle by Bob Wilson." And I looked up, I have no idea where he got Wilson from, out of my last name, but I actually did have a guy one time ask me what my real name was. And I said, it's Wisconsin. And he said, "Oh, I thought all you guys had like on-air names." And I was like, "You think I picked Wisconsin?" And he, you know, he was he's like, "Yeah, I guess that doesn't make much sense, does it?" I said, no, I don't think that would have been, you know, it sounded like a toss-up between Rocket Ship and Wisconsin, and I went with Wisconsin.
Ooh, Bob Rocket Ship. That would have been nice. I would have been psyched to hear
that.
That
would have been a little catchier. My career might be in a different place right now than it is had I done that.
All right. Well, Bob, thank you so much for taking this time to talk to us here. I wish you nothing but the best in your quest for second place in Jam On Fantasy Football. And say something nasty about Jonathan Schwartz on the way out.
No, that last one, you're going down after that last comment, fighting for second place. Schwartz is like he hides in the weeds. His venom is not as out like in your face as yours is and some other guys. So now I'm adding you to my list.
Put me at the top, Bob. Put me at the top. That's where I'll be all season long in the standings.
All right, Bender.
All right. Well, again, Bob, thanks so much. I'm going to throw a little Carini down here on your way out. Be good, and thanks for listening to Quick Hits. This has been Howard Bender on the Fantasy Alarm Podcast.